this talk today, I changed it to hold fast and repent. The first title was "You Are Dead." I figured, well, I might as well not start off in a. There are many who are dead. And it's 4 months ago, I took a sabbatical from my continuing series on the seven assemblies about the wonders revealed to John in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. This is where Yahshua greeted each assembly by name, proclaimed Yahshua's unique royal attributes. By the way, royal, you know the 23rd Psalm begins Yahweh Roi in Hebrew. Roi means my shepherd. So royal, if we stretch it, the L part to L, my shepherd is L. Royal. Anyway, it's just an interesting side thought. He proclaimed his unique royal attributes, praised the works of each assembly, criticized its failings and shortcomings, warned, exhorted, and made promises to each assembly. Yahshua issued seven proclamations, one to each of the seven assemblies, concerning events that have occurred, events that are presently happening, and events that will begin on the day of Yahweh, the first day of the seventh month of Yahweh's calendar, ushering in the seventh millennium. By addressing each of these seven assemblies, he has given us a clear picture of who we are, what we have done, both good and bad, how to reconcile our faults, and how to gain his love and live forever in his household here on the new earth under a new heaven. I say praise Yahweh and the works that he has manifested through his son, Yahshua the Messiah. Now, if you recall, I've structured this series by taking all of Yahshua's greetings, all of his proclamations, all of his praises, criticisms, warnings, exhortations, and promises to each of the seven assemblies, and have bundled them together in these categories so that we might get a clearer picture of what he values in us, what he sees as our shortcomings, and what he looks for in us to encourage us. What dangers he says lays ahead of us, what he prescribes for our reconciliation with the Heavenly Father, and finally, his assurance of his faithfulness in the form of promises leading to hope, that we may have cause, just cause, to endure to the end. We've previously discussed the greetings, attributes, praises, and we're in the midst of examining his criticisms. So let's continue this examination of Yahshua's criticisms, beginning in Revelation 3, beginning at verse 1. Revelation 3, verse 1, which says, "And to the angel of the assembly in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that is a reputation, that you are alive." And here comes the criticism. "But you are dead. Be watchful," he says, "and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before Yahweh. Remember, therefore, how you received and heard, hold fast and repent." How you have received and heard. How you have received and heard. Interesting phrase. When Yahshua taught, he frequently repeated the phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This, I believe, is a powerful act of spirit. by these words, let him hear, he is blessing the chosen ones to hear and do the commandments of Yahweh. This pronouncement has been given to the assembly at Sardis. The veil had been lifted from their eyes to see who Yahshua is. And here, he is reminding them of this gift. As we read, however, this comes on the heels of his judgment, you are dead. Shortly thereafter, he tempers his judgment with a glimmer of hope, saying, in essence, okay, you're not dead. But you've got one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. So watch out. He tells the people at Sardis to strengthen the things which remain, things that are ready to die. So he's used harsh words to get their attention. You are dead. And then he says, okay, strengthen the things that remain, the things that are in process of dying. And this reminds me of Yahweh's plan to save the remnant of believers who would be destroyed if it weren't for his intervention. Traditionally, the name Sardis has been defined as that which remains, taken from verse 2, which says, strengthen the things which remain. However, a man by the name of Benjamin Wilson, in his appendix of the Diaglot, provides a different definition. He says it means Prince of Joy. And we know that the phrase Sar Shalom means the Prince of Peace. So, I can believe that Sardis means Prince of Joy. Now, going back to verse 1 of chapter 3, we read, these things says, he who has the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. And the mystery of the seven stars is revealed in chapter 1 of Revelation in verse 20, which says, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden menorahs. The seven stars are the angels of the seven assemblies. And the seven menorahs, which you saw, are the seven assemblies. The word angel can be interpreted as messengers, or by implication, it can mean the leader of an assembly. The phrase seven spirits of Yahweh also appears elsewhere in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 1, at verse 4, we read, John, to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, that's the area that today is called Turkey, which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So the seven spirits, let me just continue on reading verse 5. And from Yahshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests in his Elohim and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here we have the description of the seven spirits. We're going to get a little bit more into that. If you go to Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, which reads, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven menorahs of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh. And let's also look at Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So these seven assemblies figure very importantly into Yahweh's plan. They are, in one respect, they are the heads of these assemblies. The seven horns and the seven eyes point to the omnipotence and the omniscience of Yahweh. Horns mean power, and eyes point to ever-presence. He is all-powerful and all-knowing. These, as Joshua claims, are the seven spirits of Yahweh. So we find that the word seven has much more meaning than just a number. Seven spirits are not seven persons or personages. But the phrase seven spirits represents perfect or complete power and glory of Yahweh. And let's turn to the book of Isaiah, if you would. Chapter 11 in Isaiah, beginning at verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. With the spirit of Yahweh includes seven spirits. I'm just counting them. Verse 3. And he will delight in the fear of Yahweh, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Does that sound like the Messiah? Does that sound like Joshua? Right. It's interesting to me that the menorah, these verses present the highest spirit first. I'm talking about the verse in Isaiah, the highest spirit, Yahweh, the spirit of Yahweh. Then it describes six spirits subordinate to Yahweh's spirit. In a sense, it pictures the menorah. They are called wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and the fear of Yahweh. And by fear, it can surely mean scared out of your wits, but it can also mean respectful awe and adoration. Paul has this to say about the various gifts that are given through Yahweh's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 4, reads, Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Master. There are varieties of effects, but the same Elohim who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the Messiah. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, although I count more than seven gifts here, what Paul seems to be emphasizing here is that there is one Spirit that grants all gifts. The number seven is used by Yahweh as His sacred number. And it is seen throughout Scripture as the covenant number. Honoring the seventh day Sabbath is the sign of Yahweh's covenant relationship with mankind. Circumcision was also a sign of a covenant on the day after 7 days. It is the number of purification and consecration. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was directed by Elisha to dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times, that he may acknowledge the Elohim of Israel as the author of his cure for leprosy. It is the number of reward. 7 is the number of reward to those who are faithful in the covenant. After being cured, Naaman stated, "Indeed, now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth except in Israel." The number 7 is a sign of Yahweh in our worship to Him. If you would turn to Leviticus chapter 4, just one line there, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 6, which is also duplicated 2 other places in that chapter. But Leviticus 4, verse 6 reads, "The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before Yahweh in front of the veil of the sanctuary." The number 7 is also a sign of Yahweh's disfavor. The priests encircled Jericho. They walked around Jericho 7 days. And on the 7th day, 7 times. That all Israel may know that the city is given into their hands by Yahweh, and that its conquest is a direct and immediate result of their covenant relation to Him. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, this is the short verse, Deuteronomy 28, 7 says, "Yahweh will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and flee before you 7 ways. Leviticus 26 and verse 21 says, and he's speaking to the people there, Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins." Now, King David knew this and incorporated this knowledge about the number 7 in one of his prayers to Yahweh. In Psalm 79 and verses 11 and 12. Psalm 79 verse 11 reads, "Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are appointed to die. And return to our neighbors," you know, the heathen, "sevenfold into their bosoms their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Yahweh." So David was speaking the language of Yahweh when he asked them to revenge what another nation has done. seven times what they've done to Israel. All the feasts of Yahweh are ordered by seven, or else by seven multiplied by seven, and thus made stronger still. The significance of the number seven. Thus it is with the Sabbath, the seventh day, the Passover, which is the 14th day of Aviv, 2 times 7. The Feast of Weeks, the day after 7 weeks. Of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. Tabernacles, which is 14 days after the Feast of Trumpets. The Sabbatical Year, the Land's Rest, each seventh year. And the Jubilee, the year after 7 sabbatical years. Similarly, the number appears in Yahweh's dealing with nations outside the covenant, showing that he is working for Israel's sake and with respect to his covenant. It is the number of years of plenty and is the number of years of famine, a sign that these are for Israel's sake rather than for Egypt's. 7 times pass over Nebuchadnezzar, that he may learn that the Elohim of his Israelite captives is king over all the earth. 7 also occurs as a sacred number in the New Testament. There are 7 Beatitudes, 7 petitions in the Our Father prayer, 7 parables in Matthew 13, 7 loaves, 7 words from the torture stake, and 7 gifts spoken by Paul, which he writes in the book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. Let's go there and see what Paul is saying. Romans 12, verse 5. Actually, I think it starts at verse 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, 7 gifts, with cheerfulness." Also, we read about the 70 who returned to Yahshua, speaking of great power, in Luke 10, verse 17. Luke 10 and verse 17 begins, "Then the 70 returned with joy." These are the ones, the 70 that Yahshua sent out. "They returned with joy, saying, 'Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." We also find 7 characteristics of wisdom in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 17. James 3:17 reads, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Again, referencing the number 7. In the book of Revelation, the number 7 is prominent, as well as the numbers 4 and 3, which added together make 7. There are 7 spirits before the throne, 7 assemblies, 7 golden menorahs, 7 stars in the right hand of him who is like unto a son of man, 7 menorahs of fire burning before the throne, 7 horns and 7 eyes of the lamb, 7 seals of the book and the thunders, the heads of the great dragon and the beast from the sea, the angels with the trumpets, the plagues and the mountains, which are the seat of the mystic Babylon, are all 7 in number. The number 7 demonstrates all that pertains to Yahweh. To the assembly at Sardis, Joshua urges its congregation to hold fast to the truth. He reminds them of the necessity of being obedient to the law of Yahweh, or else suffer the consequences. The Old and the New Testament are in harmony with Yahweh's law of sin and death. If you sin, you shall die. But if you live in righteousness, you shall behold the Prince of Joy as you enter the kingdom of Yahweh. In Yahshua's name, hallelujah.